Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting alongside my colleague Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, it seems like we have waited forever for the Packers to play another football game. It's been a long 2 weeks, a long wait here, but we are finally to our final show before Packers-Lions on Monday Night Football, 7:30 p.m. Central kickoff at Lambeau Field. And so it is time to talk keys to victory. Not that we haven't addressed a number of these things over the last 2 weeks, but starting on the offensive side of the ball, what jumps out at you as the key to victory for Green Bay?
Well, the first thing is I feel like I know this matchup inside and out. I mean, as well as any,
we've been studying this one for a while.
The scouting report on this one runs deep, but I'm going to have a fairly obvious answer and a key to victory for this game for the Green Bay Packers, and that's Brett Hundley. And the reason I say that, other than the fact that he's the quarterback, he's the one that's handling the football every single play, it really goes into building upon that first performance. And I know there was a number of areas that he wishes he could have back. The Packers have talked about it this past week. Offensive, the position players, the skill position players, the coaches, everybody knows they need to put a better foot forward here in this game against the Detroit Lions. And from Hundley's perspective, the one thing that really stands out to me, though, is this is not a guy that's easily rattled. Not rattled at all, really. And despite, being thrown in there the way he was, you go back now almost 3 weeks ago against Minnesota, has his first start against New Orleans Saints, and now actually gets another opportunity to start a game at Lambeau Field. This is going to be a big opportunity for him. And he did mention this, too. I thought this was very interesting. He has a lot more history with the Detroit Lions than he did the New Orleans Saints. He has studied that team for years with Aaron Rodgers. Now, the roles have flipped a little bit. Rodgers is back in Green Bay. Now he's the one that's kind of pushing him information and giving him tips.
Yeah.
But Brett Hundley, this is not a foreign opponent to him. He's very familiar with the Lions.
Yeah, and I say, as far as a key to victory on offense, and as much as it's going to be important for Aaron Jones to run the ball and for the offensive line to protect Brett Hundley and all those things that will help make him comfortable in the pocket to execute, hopefully, an efficient passing game, I say the key is to get the ball to the playmakers. Mike McCarthy's talked about it since the moments after the Saints game. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, those are the three guys that I look for. I believe they touched the ball a total of five times against New Orleans. Now, the Packers only had 50 plays,
right,
which wasn't many against the New Orleans Saints, but still, five touches for those guys out of 50 plays, one out of every 10, that's not enough. And the Packers know that they have to get the ball to those playmakers on the perimeter, give them a chance to get the big chunks of yardage that they're known for getting, and hopefully that will also lead to some comfort for Brett Hundley.
Yeah, and again, I'm not sitting here talking about me being a play caller, an offensive coordinator, or anything of that sort, but you really wonder if this is one of those games where you get the receiver screens going early, you get some stuff underneath, even if it only gains a few yards off the bat, finding ways to get guys into rhythm. Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, that's worked well with. Jordy Nelson, the number of ways that you can use him. Five catches on 14 targets just isn't going to get it done. This offense is so built around those receivers and built around the quarterback, you need to get more production in that area. So I think really it's going to be interesting seeing when you've had now, 2 weeks to really readjust, formulate this game plan, and take on a familiar opponent, how the Packers adapt their style. Because I really do believe, you and I have said it since the very beginning that Aaron Rodgers went down, the best friend of Brett Hundley is going to be these perimeter weapons. He has an overabundance of them. It's an embarrassment of riches in some ways. So for him now to be able to go out there and find ways to get them the rock, as he said, that is really where this offense is going to be able to, have its most success. Aaron Jones is great. Getting a healthy offensive line is terrific. All those things help in the grand scheme of things. But this offense is built around the passing game, and you need to be able to get those receivers involved.
Yeah, as Mike McCarthy said, the offense is built around, and this has been his offensive philosophy since, he learned it from Paul Hackett. He came into the league with the Kansas City Chiefs back in the early 90s. You build an offense around making the quarterback successful, and yes, the running game is going to help. Continuity on the offensive line with your five starters, your key guys, is going to help. But it's also making that defense play you honestly. Get the ball to all the different perimeter guys. Don't necessarily have that one guy that you're locked in on, that you're zeroing in on, because any NFL defense can take one guy out of the game if they really want to. That's the way this game is played. So I'm really interested to see how Brett Hundley performs in this game. It's his second start. He'll be at home. You mentioned it's a more familiar opponent. There's been the bye week now to get some other guys healthy and rested. I think this is a tremendous opportunity for a Packers team that needs a victory just as badly as a Lions team does that's lost three straight.
Oh, unequivocally. Yeah, I mean, these games, especially in the division, I've said it from day one, is in essential to the success of a team's success over the course of a year. Jordy Nelson, I thought, had a really good observation with this when he looked at how teams have been defending them the last number of weeks. Devontae Adams is getting a lot of attention. They've had number one corners, you know, following him around the field. Nelson's fully prepared for him to be in that role as well, for Nelson to be a guy that they could cue in on. The key for the Packers is adjusting off of that, pivoting off of that. You don't know how they're going to use Darius Slay. You don't know how they're going to defend these receiving corps. But once they show that, once they kind of tip their hand a little bit,
yep,
that's where this offense really goes to work. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Brett Hundley, you have to be able to make that adjustment.
Yeah, and we've got to talk some keys to victory on defense as well. We'll get to that after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz all the way over there. And Wes, continuing our discussion, keys to victory here for the Packers against the Lions on Monday night, and switching to the defensive side of the ball, where do you start?
You know, for me, it really is that run defense. And, you know, Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, those defenders in the middle of the trenches. Here's the thing, Mike. I know statistically people will point to the Packers' run defense has had some issues this year in the lower third of the league in that category right now, but I don't feel like they're that far removed from where they were last year when they were basically in the top 10 for at least most of the first half of the season. I think they end up finishing eighth overall. So yeah. This group, I think, has played well at times. It's just been some of those big chunks of yards that they've given up as well. Now, that's part of the game. You can't just throw out statistics. Yeah. I get that. But you're now taking on the number 30 ranked rushing offense in the NFL, and what the Detroit Lions have with Amir Abdullah and company. This is an opportunity, I think, for the Packers to dictate the tempo of a game. The Packers were really able to do that in the opener against Seattle, and I thought that was a big thing for them, considering historically the Seahawks have been one of the top running offenses in the league. You need to be able to get back to that. You know, they've faced a lot of elite running backs over the last number of weeks, but Kenny Clark is trending in the right direction. I think he's in the midst of a breakout season. The only thing that's really been missing is just that sack. He's had the quarterback hits. He's had the pressures. He really, I think, has done an exceptional job of shedding blockers and being able to get in the backfield for tackles for loss. He's been a big piece of this. Mike Daniels is getting healthier. Blake Martinez is tackling everybody. It's all there for the Packers to be really solid against the run, and I think it could start against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and for me, and I don't want to be the state the obvious guy here, but but the key on defense is to get off the field on third down. Mike McCarthy talked about it this week. It's called the money down for a reason. And when I look at this Packers season so far with this defense, I see Blake Martinez in the open field against Minnesota making a tackle on Jerick McKinnon on a swing pass in the flat on a third down to stop him short, make the Vikings punt. I remember Clinton Dix breaking up a pass over the middle to Kyle Rudolph in the red zone, made the Vikings kick a field goal as opposed to potentially getting a touchdown. That was on third down. There was a big third down pass breakup in Dallas, I remember, against Jason Witten over the middle. Those are the plays on third down the Packers have to make. You've got to get off the field on third down. You look at that Saints game, they had opportunities. They had third and nines. There was even a third and 17, I believe. Now, you're not going to get off the field a high percentage of the time on third and one and third and two. Yeah. That's just football. But you get them in 3rd and 8 plus, you get them in 3rd and 12, you've got to get that stop. And you know, it just takes a couple. The difference between, you know, 5 out of 10 on 3rd down and 3 out of 10 for an offense on 3rd down, that's 2 plays, Wes.
Right.
It's 2 plays. And those are the 2 plays that can give Brett Hundley a couple more opportunities to get some points for the offense.
You know, and Clay Matthews, in speaking with the media on Thursday, I thought really outlined what you just said in terms of why the defense feels like it's not that far away from what they feel they can be and what their expectations were going into this season, because they've been close. And he said that doesn't count. He understands that. You
yep.
have to get sacks. You have to get TFLs.
Absolutely. Close doesn't count.
But the pressure's been there, and at times they've been a really sure tackling team. You need to bring that all together. You can't have one or the other. You can't have that inconsistency. I think that's where, really, for the Packers defense, they need to take that next step. And you're right. When you really break it down, Mike, you can take all the statistics, and I know you can't point to just one and be like, okay, this is what's missing, or this is what you're doing well. But really, it does come down to 3rd downs and exactly the situations you're putting your defense in terms of what the down and distance is looking like and how you're able to execute when you push them back. Packers have gotten the tackles for a loss a lot this season. When they've had sacks, they've pushed teams back 6-7 yards. Those are big plays that you have to build on. And I think they understand that, and that's one of the emphases is going into this game is now trying to see what you can do in terms of making Matthew Stafford uncomfortable, and when the ball does get out, making sure you take advantage of it.
Yeah, and that's been a frustrating thing, and I know for the fans and for the players alike, with some of the things that have happened on this defense. You mentioned, you know, you get a tackle for loss or a sack. You might turn a 2nd and 6 into a 3rd and 8 with a tackle for loss on a really good running play, really good run defense. But then if you don't take advantage of it and get off the field on 3rd down, that tackle for loss doesn't mean anything. All it is a tally mark on a stat sheet. It doesn't help you any because you still gave up the 1st down. The Packers have done a lot of good things defensively, and I know the fans are frustrated and they want to see the defense capable of doing more. And it comes down to being able to make those plays on 3rd down. We talked earlier this week about maybe forcing Matthew Stafford into a mistake or two, getting the pressure on him. Maybe he, you know, takes one of those crazy arm angles and the ball comes out funny on a chilly, wet night at Lambeau Field. And then you have an opportunity for a big play on defense. Those are the kinds of things the Packers need to help Brett Hundley have the best chance to get this first victory.
If I'm Dom Capers and I'm outlining to this defense exactly where, you know, this is how close we are, this is what we need to do, 3rd downs in red zones, especially in the red zone with how solid they've traditionally been in that area.
Yeah, and that's been on the downslide this year, unfortunately.
Right.
They've got to turn that around.
But that has been when this defense is at its best, it's being stout in that area, generating turnovers and forcing field goals. It's one thing that's been missing so far. And again, if you're able to start doing that more consistently, that changes the whole outlook of a football game.
Yeah, it changes the whole ball game for sure. With that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, as Green Bay media members, we heard from an old friend, I guess you might say, on Thursday. The opponents have their conference calls with the media in the other markets, and oftentimes you get one player from the other team who gets to chat with the media. So, of course, the media's Green Bay selection for the Detroit Lions was T.J. Lang.
Yeah.
The veteran guard spent 8 years here with the Packers, signed a free agent contract in the offseason to go back to his home state of Michigan and play for the Detroit Lions. And boy, you talk about a class act. You talk about a warrior on the field. You talk about a leader from the minute he walks into any room of football players. This was a fun guy to just spend 15, 20 minutes on the phone getting reacquainted with, and you know, TJ is still TJ.
Yeah, he is, this is another thing, too. I know he has aspirations to play football for the foreseeable future, but, I mean, when he's done, that guy's going to have the pick of the litter in terms of what sports communications or broadcasting jobs he wants. He's just such an electric personality. There's so much energy about him. And his relationship with the media and what he was like here. I don't want to give the idea that he was just this pushover, that you know, just was this fluff and everything. No, I mean, T.J. Lang stood up for his guys. But he also, like, he played the game well in terms of dealing with the media, understanding how important it is to get his message, to get the team's message out to the fans. That's what they're there for. They're a conduit for that communication and that connection. And on the football field, in my time here, I don't know if I covered anybody that improved more throughout the course of his career consistently than TJ Lang. The one guy that you can make a case is right there with him is Mike Daniels.
Yeah.
And those two spent years going up against each other in practice, and now for the first time in an actual game, we'll be seeing each other on Monday night. And I think really when you look at the storylines of the matchup, Mike, that's one of the things that has to stand out to you. Those are two bulls, and they're about to start bowling into each other.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because TJ Lang was asked on this conference call I was talking about, you know, what are you thinking about this game in terms of coming back to Lambeau and being in the visitors' locker room and being on the other sideline, wearing a different uniform, all that kind of stuff. And he said, really, the first thing that comes to mind is I got to block Mike Daniels. And he says, you know, 5 years that they were, you know, knocking heads in training camp every day and in practice on a regular basis. These guys know each other pretty well. They have a heck of a lot of respect for one another and the way they play the game. And as you said, Wes, this is a if there's a matchup to highlight in the trenches, you know, do the spot shadow thing almost from the opening snap of the game. It's TJ Lang against Mike Daniels. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, Lang is wearing number 76 the Detroit Lions, and Mike Daniels obviously number 76 for the Packers. So that is one. If you want to look, you know, away from the ball a little bit, that's one to keep an eye on Monday night.
A true mirror matchup between those two guys. And the other thing too, I just want to point out, as you mentioned, the respect between the two of them that they shared. I think there is an iron sharpens iron type approach to that mentality. Seeing each other as much as they did over the years, I know for a fact that TJ Lang made Mike Daniels a better football player during that time. And then the other thing, too, to keep in mind, I mean, if you talk about Ted Thompson, mid-round draft picks, these two exemplify everything the Packers look for in that way. Guys that are unheralded, unsung, make an impact and become leaders on the football team. Both fourth-round draft picks, Lang in 2009, Daniels in 2012. And again, it's going to be a really interesting matchup to watch.
Yeah, and Lang, you know, made it clear with the reporters he didn't see this as any kind of a burn bridges type of split with the Packers. He understood it came down to business. The Packers, you know, have other players in the pipeline
right.
that are, you know, potentially going to get their second contracts when their rookie contracts expire. He realizes he was one of those young guys at one time who was rewarded by the organization for his play. And sometimes then when you're trying to go to that third contract, things just don't work out. The money game, all of that. And he was coming off of hip surgery. There were a lot of things that went into it. And as tough as it was for him to leave, he's happy to be in Detroit. And he has absolutely no ill will at all towards anybody in Green Bay. And again, that's genuine. And that's TJ being TJ.
Yeah, absolutely. He understands it's a business. He's coming off his first Pro Bowl season. The way the league is trending right now, guards and centers are making ridiculous amount of money. And Lang deserves all of it. But I mean, the price has gone up exponentially over the last few years for interior offensive linemen.
Absolutely.
That's become a new emphasis. And fortunately for TJ, hitting the market, getting an opportunity to go and take care of his family and also give him a chance to go back home as well.
Yeah, definitely. With that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, 200-plus episodes of Packers Unscripted. I have always done the sponsor ad read at the end of segment three, and I flat out forgot. So here at the start of segment four, picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And now, our final segment of the week, Wes. And at the time we're taping this, we don't know for sure if Vince Beagle is going to be officially activated from the physically unable to perform list and put on the 53-man roster for the game Monday night against the Detroit Lions. But a lot of signs are pointing to that happening with Beagle being in practice now on a regular basis. There is a roster spot available at the moment for him to take, so they can activate him without having to release another player. And I know there's a lot of excitement in the fan base, the state of Wisconsin, the city of Wisconsin Rapids, for Vince Beagle to make his NFL debut, and it could happen Monday night at Lambeau Field.
It very well could. The Packers, with the way that designation works, they have a three-week window, 21 days to activate him to the active roster starting on October 18th, the first day he practiced. So they actually could do it after the Lions game if they want. We'll have to see how this all plays out. But I thought Clay Matthews said it best, better than anybody. As excited as people are to see him, as excited as fans are, media is excited to talk about him, the Packers are excited to see what Vince Beagle can do too. And that's not to make these over-the-world expectations for this young man, but they've been around him. Clay Matthews has been around Vince Beagle now for almost 8 months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact of the matter is, they've gotten to know him. They've gotten to see him. They know what he's like in the meeting rooms. They want to see what he can do. They want to see what he can offer. And I know when you talk about going back to the first thing Beagle said when he came back, that first practice when Jake Ryan mentioned to him, oh, we got a guy with fresh legs out here.
Yeah.
There is sometimes something to be said for that.
Yep.
And he has a history in a 3-4 defense. Yes, it's a big transition to the NFL, but I think if anybody could make this transition and be able to contribute as a rookie despite not having a training camp or an offseason program, it's Vince Beagle. And I think everybody, you know, as Matthew said, is finally excited to see what this young man can do.
Yeah, as we've mentioned throughout the course of, you know, really the spring and through the summer, fourth-round draft pick out of Wisconsin, a lot of excitement for the selection here. And when he does get on the field, it will be interesting to see defensively perhaps what packages he is used in with Dom Capers and Winston Moss making those types of decisions, and then also how he might be able to help on special teams as well. You mentioned, right, you know, the fresh legs thing, you know, getting down on kickoff, punt coverage, that kind of thing. Some different ways maybe in which he could be used once he gets started.
Yeah, since the very beginning, you go back to 2009, that was one of the big pushes that the Packers made with this move to a 3-4 defense, is those outside backers' body types is conducive to special teams. So that's probably going to be the starting point for him. But you do look with the dime package and also with Ahmad Brooks having the back issue right now, there could be an opportunity there for him. Whenever he gets it, it's about executing it. It's about taking advantage of it. I think Vince Beagle, when you see him as an individual, has the disposition to do that.
Yeah, and it will be fun to see him get on the field, a Wisconsin homegrown boy. Yeah. But with that, we will wrap this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.